This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
So just a few days after we did the Free For All, our review on UFC 200, and had the headline, Brock got paid, Brock got popped.
Not just once, but twice by UFC test, USABA, testosterone boosters, I believe, is what he tested positive for.
The same thing that John Bones Jones got nailed for. And yeah, the UFC, they can't really catch a break in terms of getting their stars up and coming. And then all of a sudden they get popped for PEDs, or John Bones Jones does all kinds of crazy things that make you want to just shake your head and cringe. Ah, man, the stock on UFC definitely dropping on that one, because they just can't seem to catch a break in terms of their stars and everything that's happening. Mark Hunt, who Brock Lesnar fought, now wants either half or all of his purse, depending on, you know, the day he feels.
And I don't even blame him one bit.
And he's pretty much trying to lead a revolt of fighters against the UFC to try to get better fight purses. As we were talking about last week, I was just saying, well, there's quite a disparity in those fight purses for UFC 200. I mean, especially in, you know, between the men and the women's division. I mean, you want to talk about a wage gap, gender wage gap, it's right there big time. And that's something right there. We're not here to talk about UFC 200, but I wanted to segue with the Brock Lesnar thing, because that puts WWE in a certain situation, because he's under a contract with them. They just suspended their proposed top guy, Roman Reigns, for PEDs for 30 days. And now, you know, Brock Lesnar, is he going to be suspended? Is he not? He's a part-time performer for them. And if you suspend him for 30 days, his next scheduled appearance is at the end of August. So it wouldn't even affect him one bit. It'd just be like, okay, here you go. You're suspended 30 days, just wagging the finger at you. Like, there you go. Don't you do it again. Don't you do it again. It puts him in a very vicarious situation. And it makes you wonder what his stock is in WWE as well, because this guy would come out to, like, big pops. The crowd would love him. He was drafted on Tuesday on SmackDown to the Raw brand. WWE held their draft and didn't really get much of a reaction for it.
Nope, not at all. I mean, you did get a couple Suplex City chants for one Brock Lesnar. But at the end of the day, once we looked at the rest of the draft and everything, especially with Roman Reigns, you know, getting a couple boos here and there. And that's the other thing, too. You look at the first two picks, former Shield members, Seth Rollins, number one overall pick for Raw, and Dean Ambrose, the first overall pick for SmackDown. So number one and number two. And also, by the way, these draft rules, because Raw's a three-hour show and SmackDown's a two-hour show, both respectively live on the USA Network, Raw gets three picks, SmackDown gets two. So there you go. You get two top stars that are at the top of their game right now, and Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, both guys who are extremely over with the crowd. And the question is, because neither Roman Reigns and neither Brock Lesnar were a top five pick, but the top five was pretty interesting when you looked at it as a whole.
Yeah, because you mentioned Ambrose and Rollins. They also had Styles and Cena in that mix as well.
Well, actually, correction, though. Styles was the number four. Number three was Charlotte for Raw. And then, of course, number five was the big shocker of the night, Finn Balor, as your number five pick for Raw.
That's right. I'm looking at the top five for actual SmackDown itself, because Cena was picked right after Styles was for SmackDown. But yeah, Charlotte went to Raw, and Balor also go to Raw. That was a big thing. A little disappointed, though, because I wanted them to save an actual, like, reveal for him. Like, he would actually just come out just out of nowhere. Like, they would say, oh, yeah, Balor wasn't drafted. They extend the trolling even further. It was like, well, when's Balor getting called up? It was Balor Watch, essentially, that they had on the internet. And then all of a sudden, he just gets drafted right there to fanfare. I mean, yeah, he definitely got the reaction. But I just love to see him just interfere in a match or something like that, just to come out in the middle of nowhere, or be like a surprise opponent and just be the guy right there that all of a sudden comes out of nowhere. Like, oh, this is Finn Balor. Everybody knows who he is.
Well, in the second round of the WWE Live SmackDown draft, the sixth overall pick for Raw was Roman Reigns being drafted. Of course, he had a course of boos. And who knows, with Battleground coming this Sunday, of course, the next WWE podcast we'll be doing, or wrestling related podcast we'll be doing, will be related to SummerSlam weekend. But that's another story for another day. Roman Reigns, of course, getting the negative reaction, being the fourth overall pick for Raw, sixth overall for the dual shows. John Cena getting seventh after Roman Reigns being drafted to SmackDown, but who knows how long that's going to be, because there have been reports that John Cena wants a part-time schedule with WWE. And you know what? After, what, 16, after 15 years, I think he's earned it at this point in his career.
Well, it's that, and you're looking at a guy like Brock Lesnar, who you're giving part-time schedules to undertake.
Who was after John Cena for Raw.
Yeah, and to little fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a little bit of a Suplex City champ, but I just feel like he gets a bigger ovation than that, and it definitely waned his star by getting that that PED test that's well-publicized, and WWE would be stupid not to, you know, what do you think, we're under a rock or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I was trying to talk about not just Brock Lesnar, but just talking about the ovations that everybody got in general and winners and losers in this draft. Obviously, Finn Balor is your definite winner because that he finally got it, first NXT star drafted. And I did like how they had Charlotte as like the third overall pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That tells you how much WWE values her as a champion wrestler. Of course, that's not the takeaway from the other women competitors for WWE, because some of them got very good reactions from the crowd as they were drafted to their respective show.
Becky Lynch getting a reaction, because there are times when, you know, you hear her music hit and it's just completely silent. I'm just saying to yourself, someone cheer for her. She's awesome.
And by the way, getting away from the women for just a second, the ninth overall pick for the draft, Randy Orton, actually got a reaction, but I think it had to do with more of anticipation of when he returns. It has been since October.
It's been since October. He was a part of that big, giant injury bug that is still kind of plaguing WWE to this day. He's still got some stars out, and even one that was injured at the middle of the year was Neville, and he was drafted, so he has an impending return. One not so is Luke Harper, because he's still, sidelined with his major injury that he had. Emma as well is still out of there. So, yeah, you're not without injuries when you got to take this amount of contact in this sport. But there was just a time where they just got absolutely hammered, and just everybody. John Cena was injured part of this.
And I'll tell you what, though. It was fitting that the New Day ended up as a top 10 pick overall, because that they are one of your biggest moneymaker tag team-wise. Well, of course, next to Enzo and Cass, they're also going to be on Raw as well. Other picks that happen on Raw, you had Sami Zayn, followed by SmackDown drafting Bray Wyatt, followed by Raw drafting Sasha Banks, which boosts their women's division up on the Raw brand. After that, you had Becky Lynch, who boosts SmackDown's women's brand on that respective show. And then, of course, afterwards, you had Chris Jericho drafted to Raw. But with guys like Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Chris Jericho, you know, for the remainder of the calendar year, we don't know how long these guys are going to be wrestling around. But, of course, as long as they're on your TV screen, of course, your particular traditional wrestling fan will tune in.
I will say this about Jericho. This is the longest I've seen him have an actual TV stint since maybe
2012, probably.
No, even before that. I would say before he even left the company to do his little band.
Fozzy.
When he was actually a full-time performer back then and was still there, your first undisputed champion, had high hopes for him and everything else that was happening. This is the longest I've seen him with the company since then. That's telling something about him, is that he just has the itch and wants to keep scratching it.
There are some picks that I really wasn't a fan of, and not because I don't like either wrestler, but because I think when I look at a wrestler, I say, you don't match that brand. I'll give you an example. Rusev and Lana were drafted to Raw, and Miz and Maurice were drafted to SmackDown. I feel like if you would have switched that with both shows, I think it would have fit both superstars respectively there.
In terms of Rusev, he was kind of stuck in limbo there for a little bit, because he was the guy that you build as like this Russian super destroyer machine, and then humbled him a little bit, then got him in that god-awful storyline with Dolph Ziggler and Summer Rae, and then everything else that was happening with him. And then they get rid of the shoe tape, the foot tape, and they give him boots, and I'm just like, you look weird. And then they grease back his hair, slick back, he looked like Ron Jeremy. He just looked like a very dirty old man.
Of course, one of my favorite picks was Kevin Owens being drafted to Raw, and also that continues the long-heated rivalry between him and Sami Zayn.
It's the feud that will never end.
It goes on and on, my friends.
You and I are destined to do this forever.
Yeah. Also, looking at other drafts, The Club. Also got to bring this up. With AJ Styles going to SmackDown, The Club, after this Sunday, it'll be the last time Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and AJ Styles will be on the same team, at least until Survivor Series, but that's another story
for
another
day. AJ Styles still gets to beat up John Cena.
Hashtag beat up John Cena. But interesting storyline, though, Ray Atkinson. Finn Balor being a top five pick to Raw, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson going to Raw. maybe, just maybe, rekindling that New Japan fire that they had back in the day, you think? Maybe?
They're going to do something stupid with it.
You think so?
Ever since this whole club thing started, they had a golden opportunity to cash in on this, to make it like the second coming of the NWO, essentially, for WWE, and they just blew it big time with these guys and just kept jockeying around with it, just going back and forth, and then eventually, Styles is not, you know, a fan of the heel tactics. Now he is a fan of the heel tactics. Always going to use them. No, he's not. Then eventually he goes full switch, and then everything that's happening, and I'm just, I don't need you guys anymore. I'm going on my own. Oh, wait, now I am, and now it's the club, and now everything else is going back and forward. It was just a mess. And, you know, remember that time when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall came into WCW and they lost within the first month?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, oh, God. I always fail that one. Because we did the show not too long ago. We did that again. You always get me with that Ray Atkins. Well, actually, I'll tell you what. Raw may have the New Day. They may have Enzo and Cass, and they may have the Club. But I think SmackDown drafted the best tag team in all of WWE, and that was, of course, American Alpha, Jason Jordan, and Chad Gable.
Yeah, Chad Gable does a really... He's got some great form on that bridge that he does.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so looking at the draft overall, what was your analysis as far as the superstars on their brands go? Was it good that SmackDown had more of the established guys, like, say, Dean Ambrose, or even, Chad Gable, Jason Jordan, guys that are exciting and fun to watch on television? Or do you think Raw looks more like the compelling show at this point?
They both seem like they're going to be pretty neck and neck and split. And everything that's been going on, they bring up the NXT guys, not actually bleeding the talent from there, because you still got guys that you can use. And they actually drafted people that were, I would say, not top draws in NXT, like Alexa Bliss. Carmella, they were ones that you would think would have some type of a rise, but I haven't seen much from them in NXT. So they're bringing them to the main roster to grill them there.
Nia Jax to Raw.
Yeah, so she has pretty much done everything she can in NXT and fulfilled her strong girl role, the monster heel, so to speak, that I think, you know, a women's division actually needs. And with all the with everything that's going on, you got more athleticism now, but yeah, you could also still use that giant heel, because that's what makes compelling wrestling, even from the early 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, you always had just that monster that everybody, that the babyface had to take on, gets destroyed. And then
Luna Vachon, Bull Nakano.
Well, I'm even talking about men as well, because, I mean, Hogan was, you know, I wouldn't really consider him too much of an underdog, but he was going up against guys that were bigger than him and guys that were just looked like absolute monsters, and that put him over as a babyface. So you could use the giants to go up against. Shawn Michaels had Sid for a while.
Yep. And for all you pro wrestling and WWE fans out there, we will see you during SummerSlam weekend next time for this edition of the Free For All.